You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
The NFL draft is come and gone. Always a fun weekend. I always love the second and third days. I think they're, for me, they may be the most interesting. I think for hardcore football heads, that's probably the same thing. Although the first day of the draft is definitely an entertainment spectacle. And the next guy joining us right now over the phone is going to talk about the entertainment and, of course, some of the winners and losers of the NFL draft. We have Antoine Staley. He joins us throughout the college football season, and he also covers the New York Jets, an exciting team to cover right now with the New York Daily News. Antoine joining us over the phone. Always a pleasure to get you on. Great to hear from you again.
It's going to be with you again.
Yeah, the draft is come and gone, and before we talk about the winners and losers, we'll talk about the week of for you, because the Aaron Rodgers saga finally came to an end, and I'm sure for someone that covers the Jets, Antoine, it was a welcoming thing to just have this done, right? I mean, the speculation's over with. We knew it was a foregone conclusion, but to actually see the compensation on paper and to move on and to have the press conference, I'm sure that was fantastic.
Yeah, I was so tired just hearing the speculation for the last week. But yeah, I'm glad it's finally done and Aaron Rodgers is in the building and ready to go and participating in offseason program too. So yeah, we've just been a long week, but 1 week since he's been on the Pat McAfee show and then the owners meeting, and then a month later he finally became a Jet officially.
When I saw the compensation, I, for one, didn't think it was astronomical. I know a lot of people and a lot of writers believe that the Packers really pulled away with a heist. I don't see that. I mean, we take a look at some of the previous trades that we have seen from quarterbacks. I actually thought it was fair compensation on both sides. And if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps, that two is going to become a one. Otherwise, when you take a look at what the Jets received in return as well, possibly two twos for Aaron Rodgers, I didn't think it was that bad of a haul.
I mean, you're going to have to give up something. I know a lot of people, it was speculation that the Jets would have to give up a whole lot to get him, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to have to give up a first-round pick. Like, you got a premium player that's a year removed from being the league MVP, like in 2021. So, yeah, it's going to cost you some, at least a first-round pick. And, you know, they swapped picks, and then they had two other picks, too, as well, in addition to that. So I didn't feel like it was a whole lot. I thought it was about what I thought was going to happen. The Packers were content with getting a first-round pick, whether it be this year or last year. But, yeah, I didn't think it was that big a deal. And if the Jets, you know, have success and, you know, happen to make it to the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, nobody's really going to care what the compensation was then.
When that's all said and done, we could shift our focus over to the draft itself. And now you take a look at the compensation that Green Bay received. I mean, all in all, Antoine, what was your thoughts on the way both the Jets and Packers approached this draft and how they tried, I guess, moving in different directions? The Packers aren't necessarily going through a full rebuild. It's more of a remodel, maybe a reshift. And in the same sense, you have the Jets that want to win right now.
Yeah, I think you look at the Packers, I thought they did a good job of getting Van Ness from Iowa, and then also you look at, you know, Luke Musgrave from Oregon State, and also, you know, Jaden Reed from Michigan State. That's definitely to provide Jordan Love with some weapons there on the offensive end. So I definitely liked their draft. I thought they had a ton of picks. And then, you know, like you said, I think it's more of a retool in there for Jordan Love and company. And I don't think they're going to be a bad team at all. I just think that it is going to be some growing pains, obviously, with Jordan Love becoming the starter. But, you know, they did everything in its power to get, especially acquire two tight ends. Another one, Tucker Kraft from South Dakota State, to provide him with some weapons that can really help him this year. And if you look at the Jets, you know, I know a lot of people were expecting a big splash to kind of help Aaron Rodgers, but the tackles were off the board at that point, you know, swapping picks with the Packers, you know, kind of cost them that, especially when the Steelers traded with the Patriots, you know, around pick 14. But they were able to go out and get a pass rusher there. They could, you know, they feel like they can, you know, excel and be one of the best in the league there. And then you look at the tackle position, Carter Warren, you know, from Pitt, and also got a running back and Izzy Izzy from Pittsburgh too as well. I definitely think, you know, those guys are definitely going to come in and, you know, they hope can be a big, you know, boost to a team that's looking to be making some noise this year.
Yeah, I guess the pick for me that was kind of puzzling for the Packers, we shifted the fifth round, bringing in Sean Clifford. If I'm not mistaken, he's 3 months older than Jordan Love, right? And so the idea that Gutekunst wants to bring in another quarterback, maybe a veteran quarterback, I thought the fifth round pick of Sean Clifford was a little odd for Green Bay. That one was a head-scratcher.
I figured they would take a quarterback at some point. I didn't think it'd be him. I thought Sean Clifford might go possibly undrafted, if not maybe like a 6th or 7th round pick. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I will say this. He does have experience. He's been in, he was at Pittsburgh long enough. But,
right.
You know, he definitely somebody, yeah, I wasn't expecting. I thought, like you said, I thought more of probably like a veteran guy. And then also, you know, bringing somebody like a camp arm or undrafted free agent just to kind of put behind Jordan Love and that player. But, yeah, I mean, I guess the good thing about it is Clifford is older and does have some experience in case, you know, something were to happen to Jordan Love. You got somebody that's been around a little bit.
Antoine, who was your big winner if you had to pick one team? I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, but I think it's a great starting point when we kind of recap the entire draft. Who is one team that you just absolutely loved?
The Eagles. You got to love what the Eagles did. I mean, they were just, you know, amazing. Just the kind of the pitch they, I mean, essentially they're like the Philadelphia Bulldogs at this point. Get Jalen Carter, what they did at number 9, which arguably he was the best player in the draft. Of course, he had some character issues there. And then going back and getting Nolan Smith there, and edge at number 30. And then you tack on there, you get Sidney Brown later on at 66, along with Tyler Steed, you know, offensive guard there at Alabama. And then I love, and then you get Ringo there, 105 there in the 4th round. I love what they've done, and, you know, it's going to be, I think the Eagles are probably the favorite in the NFC this year based on just the team they have returning and also the draft picks that they have.
And not to mention, they trade out a day 3 pick in 2025 for DeAndre Swift, right? So I think you just look at what this team did front to back. It was almost as if you're playing Madden in a dream scenario roles. When they picked at number 30, you know the Chiefs were licking their chops for Nolan Smith, but there was absolutely no way Philly was going to let him pass. One of the things that the Eagles have done so well over the last 5 years, they select the best player available.
Yeah, I like that. Like, some people go on need there, but, you know, when you got a team, especially contending the way that they are, they're picking the best available player, and, you know, they don't care. They'll figure it out later on because they know they're going to have need there eventually. So, yeah, I love the pick, and, you know, this replaces, of course, you know, Hargrave ended up going to San Francisco earlier this year. So, yeah, I mean, they're keep adding those pieces defensively, and, I mean, if you're a team in the NFC East, like the Cowboys, like the Commanders, the Giants, you got to be like, man, like, what, the Eagles got even stronger like than what they were last year. It definitely has to be frustrating for them.
When we talk about a team that did very well, I'll throw a team out that I thought did not. Okay, going into this draft, there were 3 teams in the NFC that I thought could propel themselves into that upper echelon, maybe become the favorite in the NFC if things worked out in their favor. I had the Lions, I had the Vikings, I had the Cowboys. Those were the 3 teams I was really paying attention to in the NFC. And Antoine, I thought Detroit's draft fell flat. I didn't like Jamar Gibbs at 12. I didn't like the fact that they had Jalen Carter if they so wanted him. They trade back, they grabbed Gibbs. I didn't care for the Jack Campbell pick. I didn't care for the Sam Laporta pick. The first 3 selections for Detroit, to me, it was a little mind-boggling, and I felt like the Lions were very lackluster.
First of all, I have to say, I do like the players that they picked. It's just a matter of, do you like them where they were actually slotted at? Like, I like Gibbs. I think he arguably could be the best running back in the draft. But 12, like, yeah, you know, you probably could have gotten them, like, maybe at 18, possibly. I don't think he would have slipped much farther than that, to be quite honest. Although there is a rumor that, you know, the Jets really did like Gibbs, and they were thinking about taking him at number 15 had he been there. So that's probably why I think the Lions took him as high as what they did, because they didn't think he would be there with their 2nd pick. But, yeah, Gibbs, this Jack Campbell I thought was a 2nd-round pick, although I really did like him, you know, coming out of Iowa. But that early at 18, yeah, that was a bit head-scratching. Laporta, I thought he was about a 2nd-round pick too, but, yeah, at 34, yeah, I felt like he probably could have traded back and gotten better value there. And then Bryant Branch, I did like that pick. I thought Branch was probably like a borderline first-round pick there. You get him at 45, that definitely got a – and then Hendon Hooker, yeah, I thought it was good the Lions did get a quarterback there. I know Jared Goff has had a tremendous year last year, but, you know, to get a guy like Hendon Hooker who you could develop and potentially down the line be your starter, I definitely think they did hit on
We have to talk about the Las Vegas Raiders, of course, being an affiliate here where you can listen to the Raiders every week. I like the Tyree Wilson pick at 7. Love the fact that they traded up and grabbed Michael Mayer in the second round at 35, considering they got a 3 for Darren Waller. Did not mind the Byron Young pick. I know that all in all, when you look at the Raiders in years past, they have given Raider fans plenty to get upset about. I thought this was a very solid draft for the Raiders front to back.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I followed the Raiders for years, and I'm used to them doing some head-scratching type things. But, yeah, I think Tyree Wilson definitely getting the pass rusher to compliment Max Crosby on the other side. Michael Mayer, where you got him, a lot of people thought he was a first-round pick. But to get him at 35, I thought that was really, you know, tremendous there. And then you go with Byron Young, Alabama at 70, and then, you know, even the Trey Tucker pick, definitely. I really enjoyed that pick, too, as well. And then Christopher Smith's second back at 107. I actually thought that was a good value there at the safety position. And then they did get a quarterback, you know, Aiden O'Connell later on, too, who I definitely think, you know, despite, you know, where they are at the quarterback position there, you know, I definitely think having a guy like him maybe, you know, develop under Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, worst thing in the world.
We saw three quarterbacks go in the opening round. Will Levis obviously slipping to round number 2. That was a storyline throughout the night, day one. When you look at the teams that drafted high-end quarterbacks, and we could throw Hendon Hooker in there as well, because I was really, really high on Hendon Hooker going into the draft. Who do you believe took the biggest reach?
As far as the quarterback?
As far as quarterbacks go, and I'm talking high-end quarterbacks. We'll say the top 5, right? Because I think across the board, we all know who the consensus 5 best quarterbacks in the draft were.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, I don't think anybody did it, but I guess if I had to pick anybody, I guess it would have to be the Colts. I mean, yeah, so many questions with Anthony Richardson. Although I love the talent. It's undeniable. Like, his reach, I mean, yeah, I feel like his ceiling could be the best quarterback in this draft. I think he has all the tools to be successful. Derek can run the ball. He can throw it. You know, it's better than just about anybody else. Just the fact that he had the lack of experience at Florida. He played only 13 games, and, you know, it was kind of up and down some of those games that he, you know, actually did start in. But I definitely think, you know, you look at Florida's roster, they did him no favors there. That's probably one of the worst, you know, as far as skill position players were concerned. Anyway, one of the worst Florida Gators rosters, you know, constructed about 10 years offensively. So I definitely think that did him no favors there when he was with the Gators. But, yeah, I definitely think it may take him a little bit of time to get him acclimated. I don't know if I would start him right away, but I think eventually, I don't think the Colts are going to be very good. You put him out there and towards the end of the year and got to see what he does. But, yeah, you could definitely, you know, consider that being a reach, just considering, like, there's so many questions with Anthony Richardson even after the draft.
Antoine, everybody has their guy that they think could be a steal back half of the first round, early second round. You mentioned Brian Branch. I agree with you. I had Branch pegged to go in the first round. But was there a guy that you looked at maybe going round 2 or 3 that you thought was just tremendous value? I mean, for instance, for me, Osiris Torrance going to Buffalo with the 59th pick. I love Osiris. I thought that was excellent, excellent value for Buffalo. I thought the Bills had a fantastic draft. Also grabbing Dorian Williams, not to mention Dalton Kincaid, who people here in the state of Utah love. But for me, Torrance had just tremendous value at 59. Was there a guy standing out to you anywhere from, I don't know, we'll say 35 to 70 that you just looked at and thought, wow, that's a steal?
I think a few. Like, you talked about Buffalo. I like Osiris Torrance from Florida. I definitely think he could be a good value. They need offensive line help. And I think getting him where you were, like, you, again, borderline first-round pick, you know, I definitely think that's a good value for them. Baltimore, maybe Trent Simpson there, Clemson linebacker, get him at 86. I definitely think that was a big get for him. Like, them. So, yeah, I definitely like that pick. You look at Jonathan Mingo from Ole Miss at 39 for Panthers. Yeah, I definitely think that's another potential guy that could develop really well. And then Drew Sanders from Arkansas, linebacker at Arkansas, you got him at 67. The Denver Broncos did. So I think Sanders was a, you know, higher end, you know, second round pick, but to get him at 67, I thought that was really big for the Broncos.
We can end with this. What's now the biggest storyline post draft?
I mean, basically, you know, you still have some free agents that are still available there. You look at guys like Kareem Hunt and other guys that are still available. But now, at 4 p.m. today, those guys can be signed without having the compensatory picks attached to them. So I imagine, you know, he'll have the second wave of free agents start to come in there. You'll see other teams start to pick that up. And obviously the fifth-year option teams are, you know, declining them and also accepting them. And they have to by at 4 p.m. on May 2nd. So those are the big storylines heading after the draft.
He's Antoine Staley, always kind enough to join us on air. Antoine, great stuff as always. Before I let you go, let us know where we can find more of your work. And now one of the most polarizing teams in the New York Jets. You cover them in depth. Where can we find more of your work?
Find me at Antoine Staley on Twitter. Also, you know, find my work at the New York Daily News too as well.
Antoine, always a pleasure. Thank you again for the time. Can't wait to do it again real soon.
That sounds good.
Always great to get Antoine Staley here on Drive Time Sports. Love the insight. We're going to continue on with Football Tuesday in just a moment. When we return, we'll flip. Vinny Rondinelli joining us in studio. We'll talk about the draft and the best free agents still available. That's all coming up right here on Drive Time Sports.